Great time to talk to Dennis Stewart about a few of the little things he knows so much about. And we've got a wonderful herb today, Dennis.
Look, we have, Jay, and I want to just briefly tell the listeners about the herb feverfew, F-E-V-E-R-F-E-W. And the reason, Jane, that I want to bring it before the listeners is that every now and then in practice, one gets great confirmation as to what one has been saying about some of these remedies for so many years. And this week, I had a very, very pleasant result in a patient who has suffered ongoing, recurring, chronic migraine headaches and has used multiple medications, some good pharmaceutical medications, but unfortunately was still plagued with these wretched things. And I suggested to this dear man that he try the herb feverfew, which has a very established reputation in traditional medicine as being a prophylactic device, that is, a preventative agent for migraine headaches.
So it keeps migraines at bay.
Yes. In fact, before I came into the rooms today, I went to some of my references, and one of the references called Traditional Herbal Medicines, A Guide to Their Safer Use, quite an academic text, actually refers to feverfew for migraine prophylaxis, which means taking it to prevent the migraine headache. It is not really, Jane, a herb to use, although some do. It's not a herb ideally to use to treat an acute episode, but using it ongoingly in a very, very low dose as a prophylactic or preventative device, there is a very, very substantial evidence base to its workability. And for sceptics out there, the information contained in modern texts, such as, for instance, Potter's New Cyclopedia, the Botanical Drugs and Preparations, written and edited by two of Britain's most eminent pharmacists with PhDs and Doctor of Science qualifications, Elizabeth Williamson and Fred Evans, in that text, along with others, everything that I have said about feverfew as a preventative agent for migraine headache is reiterated and confirmed. So it's a little bit disappointing that it is not better known, but I guess that it's pretty difficult still to get some of these traditional remedies. And this one goes right back, interestingly, to Dioscorides, who was the great Greek physician that practiced medicine a century before Christ. Mm. And he used it, and it's flowed right through, Jane. And it's in recent times, interestingly, in recent times it was sort of rediscovered when word got back from certain parts of Wales, of all places, that people eating a leaf of the feverfew daily were claiming to get benefit for migraine. And then it took off from there, and subsequently it has developed into encapsulated preparations, standardised forms of using it, although many people will buy the herb, which is readily available, and eat perhaps a leaf of it per day. I prefer to prescribe it in a more standardised form as a capsule or a liquid extract. Very, very economical herb, Jane. It's not expensive. Low dose.
Does it grow around here? So can
it
you
does.
Get it fresh?
It does. Mm. You can get it fresh, and it's in fact it's almost a weed. If you put it in your garden, it tends to spread very easily, and that in some cases is good because it provides access, if you like, at the back door to the daily eating of a leaf as a means of trying to provide some prophylaxis for people that battle this wretched condition. Jane, it would be stupid of me to say this is the answer for migraine. You know me better than that. What I'm saying is this is a traditional herbal medication that is well documented in modern herbals with a scientific interpretation of how it works, and it should not be lost sight of in the medical world as an agent to be taken seriously, particularly when some of the pharmaceuticals have failed, or where a person wants to try something as simple as this before they move towards the pharmaceutical. So I'm suggesting that listeners who battle this condition take it seriously. I would prefer people actually to use it in a standardised form, a capsule or a liquid extract, because it's easier to get a dosage regime worked out. But historically, it's been used and basically eaten.
Oh, that sounds amazing. It's certainly an alternative to eating lots of, taking lots of pills when the condition strikes.
It is. Look, it's not a very tasty herb. So I will warn listeners that it's not very tasty. And unfortunately, in a very small percentage of people that use it, it will create a minor ulceration of the mouth, which means that the herb is not for you. I have never seen that in all the years that I have prescribed it, but it's worthwhile noting that if using feverfew creates any oral irritation, well, that indicates that the herb is not for you. But it's worthwhile giving a go where the bigrain is a wretched thing that's not responsive to anything else. But remember, it's a prophylactic device. It's not ideal to treat the acute episode, but hopefully using it over a period of time, we can get what the literature calls this prophylactic effect from this remarkably inexpensive and readily available herb.
A great topic for today. Thank you, Dennis Stewart.
Yeah, it's good, good. That's a great herb.
A little bit of health naturally for your Friday, and we'll talk with Dennis next Friday.